I'm John Krall. Today on No Limits, we're going to explore one of Indiana's cultural landmarks, the Heartland Film Festival. Now more than 20 years old, the festival brings independent films from all over the globe to central Indiana. It has become a showcase for innovative movie making. My guests will be Festival Director Louise Henderson, Artistic Director Tim Irwin, and Film Director Matt Schaus. Please join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881, emailing nolimits@wfyi.org, or connecting with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about one of Indiana's cultural landmarks, the Heartland Film Festival. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. My guests all are intimately involved in the film festival, starting with Louise Henderson, who is the festival director. Louise, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Wonderful to be here.
It's good to have you here. And then also Tim Irwin, who is the artistic director. Tim, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good to be here, John.
It's good to have you here. And Matt Schaus, who is the film director and is going to have a film on display here at the festival. Matt, welcome to the program.
Right, thank you for having me.
Certainly. Well, Louise, I'm going to ask you, could you give people quickly an overview of what the Heartland Film Festival is? And, you know, we were talking before we went on the air that the fact that, you know, it's sort of exploded, given that it only started in 1991. In 22 years, that's not a whole lot of time to create the kind of profile it has. Give us an idea of how it started and what it has become.
Well, you know, it did. It started back in the early 90s as just an opportunity to try to bring to audiences films that have something to say. We're a mission-based festival, and our mission is to inspire filmmakers and audiences through the transformative power of film, which means we're looking for those sorts of films, and there's lots of them being made all over the world that have something to say, that may engage or inspire you in some way. So we're trying to encourage those filmmakers and assure filmmakers that there are audiences that want to see those films. And so our growth has been paralleled by these filmmakers finding a home and going on and finding more and more audiences nationally and internationally as a result of our promotion of them here in Indianapolis.
Tim, Louise mentioned that you look for certain kinds of films, the ones that can be transformative. What sort of things? Can we break that down a little bit? What sort of films do we look for?
That's a good question. It's pretty broad, but we look for things that do more than just entertain. So film has to be entertaining, otherwise why are you going to watch it? On some level, it has to draw you in and engage you. What we look for is the films that can change your perspective on a part of life, make you think about things you hadn't thought about before, and maybe challenge you a little bit, maybe sometimes disturb you and make you want to be something different, inspire you maybe. They really run the gamut, and that's what's really fun about this year's festival is we have such a wide variety of films from 44 different countries, and they will affect audiences in very different ways.
What is the selection process like that? How do you go through that process?
It's getting harder each year because our submission entries are growing significantly every year. We've seen a tremendous growth in the films we've received in the past 4 years.
Yeah.
And we're staying committed to a very rigorous selection process.
So, again, tell me how many films you've got this time around.
This year we received 1,521 films from 76 countries. Yeah. We narrowed that down to the 134 from 44 countries that will actually be showing
so
at the
festival. So there's less than a 10% acceptance rate.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. And it takes us, what was it, April, I think, that we started watching films. Mm-hmm. So we started taking submissions at the beginning of March. April, Louise headed up the documentary feature committee. I head up the narrative feature committee and work with the shorts committee. We have three different screening committee members watch each of the films in its entirety, no matter how good or bad it is. They have to watch it all the way through. We ruin about 50 people's lives every summer because they have to watch so many films for us.
They want those 2 hours of their life back.
Well, yeah, that is the...
then we discuss the films, and Louise has a weekly meeting for the documentary features, and she'll get the input from everybody and then make decisions based on that. Does someone else watch it? Do I watch it next? Is this an obvious one that really doesn't fit with us? And I'll do the same on the narrative feature side. So over a course of several months till when did we end? Mid-July, I think.
So from mid-April to mid-July, we had active screening committees watching 4 to 8 films a week. Reading their reviews, going to the weekly meetings, and then we're watching the films that we think that are pretty strong. We have interns that help us out with sort of the fence sitter films, and we just keep whittling it down to so that by the end of July.
Do you have a target number each year, or is that something where you figure there's this is a convenient break point that,
Our operations people like to give us a number just because they have certain things that they have to do.
And we like to give each film, our award-winning films, the ones that are in competition for the big awards, we like to be able to show them 8 times and then the official selection films 4 times. So you can't go above a certain number. So that's about 50 feature-length films and then a certain number of shorts programs. And what varies each year really is the number of shorts, because we package them into movie length programs. So if you have a lot of shorter shorts, you have a higher number of films, but about the same number of programs.
We are talking about the Heartland Film Festival here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Matt Schaus, you are on the opposite end of this process, in that you're one of the filmmakers whose movie went through that kind of microscopic process and made the cut. First, tell me what your movie's about. Tell me a little bit. That's not a fair question. It's like asking a writer, what's your book about? Tell me about your movie, and then tell me about what getting accepted, having your movie put on display here at the Heartland Film Festival, what that means.
Right. Well, my film, it's a short documentary. It's about 12
probably
minutes
ought to explain
long.
What is a short here, real quickly.
We're doing
movie speak around here. So.
Anything under 50 minutes for us qualifies as a short film.
Anything under 50 minutes. Okay. Matt, back
okay,
to you.
Okay, so it's a documentary. It's about 12 minutes long. Therefore, it is considered a short. It's based actually very locally in Indianapolis. It's about a couple that wants Indianapolis to be a healthier city. They want you to live better in Indianapolis, like to help our reputation in Indianapolis as a better, just more healthier community. So what they do is they have gardens that is downtown by White River State Park is where the garden is at. They also have another one by the Chase Eastside Legacy Center. Mm-hmm. And they have, it's an organic garden. So they grow food there, and then restaurants will buy their food and put it right on their restaurant table locally.
How did you come up with this idea?
Well, it's a funny story, actually. My mom is a writer, and they wanted the story wrote about what they do in the newspaper. And I went with her to take still photos. And I'm like, wow, it's so gorgeous out here, the colors. This would look great in a movie theater or through a camera. So I'm like, we should make a movie about this. And they were all about it. So we did.
Now, and I'm not giving anything away. You are somewhat younger than I am. How long have you been making films? What drew you to making movies? And then I want to get back to that question of what does having your movie accepted by the Heartland Film Festival mean to you?
Right. I've been making films for quite a while, like not necessarily professionally for as long, but I've been making little movies with my friends since I was probably 10 years old. What kind of spurred it was my mom bought me a VHS tape. You guys all remember those. And it was the making
us feel really old. Right
yeah, it's the making of Indiana Jones. Making of Indiana Jones. And I see this guy with this huge camera just like people are pushing him around on dollies, and he's just looking so cool. And I'm like, I should do that. And so I get all my friends, I get like a little cowboy hat, and we start making Indiana Jones movies. And it's kind of where it all started.
Now, this is not Matt's first film in the festival.
Okay. What other film did you do?
Well, I had a film last year in the high school division. It was another documentary short about the Humane Society.
Okay.
And we actually shot it. It got into some festivals, some smaller festivals, and then we went out to Washington, D.C. and interviewed the CEO of the National Humane Society. And then it got accepted in Heartland. So kind of that helped it.
Well, tell me a little bit about what it means to have one of your movies, one of your films, accepted by the Heartland Film Festival.
It's one of the biggest honors. It's a very, very well-respected film festival. And I look at it like a lot of people are going to go to Hollywood movies because of an actor or because their spouse dragged them there. People that come to these festivals, they really care about your film more than I think even some Hollywood audiences. Because when I go and I'm a filmmaker, they look at you as a celebrity, even though we're not. You know, I'm in college. I'm not a celebrity.
Where are you going to school?
Huntington University.
Okay. And are you first-year student or second?
Second year.
Second year. You said your last film was accepted in the high school division. I was just attempting to do the math there.
Right.
Do you have plans to do this for a career or for a living?
Yes, I'm majoring in film production currently, and I shoot weddings. I do a lot of other film work right now currently, so I'm definitely pursuing a career in film.
We are talking about the Heartland Film Festival here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. David, welcome to the program.
And thank you for having me. How is everyone today?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
Oh, well, I'm an actor. Mm-hmm. I've been in a few feature films. First film I worked on got 2 Oscar nominations. Hoosiers, maybe you might have heard of that. Rudy and 8 Men Out, and Twister. But I was also wondering how I might help out. And I've also got a film that's going to start filming sometime next year that I'm told by a writer, producer, and have a part in. But I was wondering how I might help out and maybe be part of the screening committee that views these films and helps.
Try to get you an answer. Thank you very much for the call, David.
Thank you.
Thanks. Well, if people do want to get involved, if they share the passion for film, how do they go about doing that?
That's a great question. Yeah. We have about, we're a very small staff. We have a core of about 1,000 volunteers here in Indianapolis that help us out with every facet of the festival. So there are a lot of people each year that want to be part of the screening committees. What we do is anyone who's interested in that, you sign up via ShiftBoard, which is our volunteer registration system. You can find out more at trulymovingpictures.org. Click on the volunteer button.
Go ahead and give them that again. There are people, believe it or not, who do not sit listening to this program with pencils
with the
in
pen
hand.
Ready? Not everyone does
yeah.
that.
So they've had a chance now to get the pencil and write it. Down.
So go to trulymovingpictures.org, and at the top right, I believe, there's a little button that says volunteer. If you click that, it'll let you know how to register to be a volunteer for Heartland. You'll have options as to what you're interested in helping out with, so you can select a film review or movie review. I forget exactly what it's called. And then each year, we go through everybody that's signed up and has expressed an interest in that. And then, we have a little bit of an orientation process and a selection process to choose the 50 to 60 people that we think will best suit our needs. Because a lot of people like films, and we want to choose the ones that can help us best select the films that meet our mission. So that's the best way to get involved.
And how you say you've got 50 or 60 people how many films do they have to watch then? I mean, if I'm doing the math right here, we'll stay with the number of 50, and you've got more than 1,500 films.
Yeah.
That's about 30 films per person.
It depends on the committee.
More than that. I mean, they watch, we tell the feature length committee members, so that's, a movie length film, to expect 4 to 8 films per week over the 10-week screening committee process. And then the short film reviewers will watch many more than that because of the shorter films. So I'd say between 50 and 80 films, at least on the documentary side, each committee member will watch over the 10 weeks.
How many, when we talk about shorts as opposed to the feature-length film, what's the breakdown of that 1,500 that you get submitted?
Yeah, this year we had 246 documentary features, probably around 185, 180, 190 maybe narrative features, and then just over 1,000 short films. And then we also had high school film competition submissions as well. So to take the short film category, for example, we had 1,019 short films. Each one gets seen by 3 different people. That's 3 different reviews that we make them all fill out an online review form. So that's 3,000 reviews for short films. The short film committee members watched about anywhere from 80 to 100 shorts a piece, I think, over the course of the 2.5 months, 3 months.
I mean, with 2 of you, since this is what you do for a living, I mean, how many of those movies did all of them?
A lot. I probably, out of the 246 submitted documentaries, I probably watched 100 of them.
So is, you know,
to make my final decision to get it down to 25.
On a Friday night, then going to a movie is not exactly a, you know, a night out or a treat for you.
Some of us who love movies still are there at the movies on a Friday night, and it's really nice not to have my screener hat on. But yeah, I mean, it's my vacation. If I'm in the car, I'm writing, not driving, because I've got a film on my laptop. So it's a big second job.
We are talking about the Heartland Film Festival here on No Limits. My guests are Louise Henderson and Tim Irwin, both of the festival, and Matt Schaus, who is a film director. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about the Heartland Film Festival. My guests are festival director Louise Henderson, the festival's artistic director Tim Irwin, and Matt Schaus, who is a film director whose film is going to be on display, I guess that would be the term, be shown as part of the festival. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881, or you can send us an email, as a listener named Quake has done so. And to do that, you send it to nolimits@wfyi.org. Quake's question is, what themes were dominant in the submissions as far as the content of the films this year?
That's a good question.
That is.
I'd say on the documentary side, it was a very different year. We typically get some films about returning veterans. We've got one about children who've lost parents to the war. We often get quite a few films. There's still so many stories of the Jewish Holocaust, and we really didn't get that many this year. So I'd say it was a very different year theme-wise, and varied all over the map for documentaries. What about narratives?
Yeah, narratives are really all over the place. It's actually hard to pinpoint kind of themes or motifs that kept arising in the narrative. Shorts is a little bit easier when you have such a large sample size, over 1,000 shorts. Different things pop up. Space was popular this year.
Space in what sense? Space or?
Yeah, the spacemen, just anything from wanting to be an astronaut to spacemen. It was all preceding Gravity's release or something. I don't know exactly. that was one. Alzheimer's was a really big one, having aging parents or dying parents was one. Having dying children was one. We have a lot of very dramatic shorts that are submitted. And those are very difficult subjects to handle with tact and care as you're making a short film. But it's really interesting. It varies every year. I know, especially in the documentary features, that every year there's two or three different themes that keep coming up. And we don't want to program a festival of just one type of film. So we really look to pick and choose.
So you don't say this is a theme we want to emphasize this year or anything like that?
No, because we're really looking for the best films that fit our mission. So I'm not looking for a theme. I'm not looking for that returning veteran film. I'm just looking for the best films, and it just happened that there weren't many submitted on that topic this year.
We are talking about the Heartland Film Festival. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. John, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I absolutely love the Heartland Film Festival. It's a real jewel for Indianapolis, and I would encourage everyone to go. I teach part-time at a college. I always encourage my students. I wish the Heartland Film Festival had a day that students, high school students, college students could come for a reduced cost. The second thing is I often will approach documentary makers to see if I can ask for a copy of their film to show to my classes. That's been difficult. A few have said, okay, sometimes they've got rights like with HBO and things of that nature, but I just wish there was some way that there could be some follow-up with being able to see these films again in the future.
Thanks very much for the call and the question, John. We'll try to get you an answer. Well, the overarching theme here is really, are there ways that the film festival could be opened up for educational purposes? in a better and more efficient way?
That's a great complicated question. As the caller mentioned, each documentary in particular, every single film, though, has a very different distribution story. So some are airing on HBO. There aren't copies of the film available. Some are going to have a theatrical release, so they don't let DVDs just slip out. Others are much more up to the actual, if the filmmaker owns the rights of the film, him or herself, you know, it's a lot easier in that case. The second part of the question, how do you keep seeing these films? We have a couple great ways, actually.
Yeah, we got approached by a rather new company. They were actually at Sundance, and I know you can see it on the New York Times website. It's called Go Watch It. And if you get on our online film guide, which is at heartlandfilmfestival.org, and you look up a film, right beneath the film synopsis is a little tab, and it says Go Watch It. And if you click on that, it basically keeps the film in a queue, and it's monitoring whether it's going to come out in theaters or out on DVD, and it'll send you an email 2 years from now and say, hey, that film that you saw at Heartland in 2013, it's coming out. So that's a great way to not lose track of a film that you really like. It's hard to, like the caller said, it's hard for a filmmaker just to hand out DVDs sometimes if you monitor their website. But we like this Go Watch It service because it will do all that monitoring and remembering for you.
Yeah.
So Matt Schaus, let me ask the question again from the filmmaker's perspective. If somebody wants to see your film after the film festival is over, how do they go about doing that?
Well, I plan on festing my film into other festivals after this festival is over. Because
is that now
premiering.
A verb, festing it?
I use it as a verb.
Okay. I'm just checking.
I do not plan on doing a theatrical release or anything. Mine's just a short, so I don't see a real market for that. But I will probably just put it on the internet for people to view. And I don't know, Heartland could probably connect people.
Is your first film anywhere, the one that was in the high school division, is that somewhere where people can see
it? Yes, that is on YouTube. I have a YouTube channel with other work on there as
So if they want to see your works, they can go there.
Right.
Okay, go to YouTube, and do they just, search for your name?
Yeah, if you search Matt Schaus, I'll be like the first thing.
And you can spell your name here because they may not get
M-A-T-T.
That part they get, I'm sure.
Space.
Okay.
S-H-O-U-S-E.
Okay. We are talking about the Heartland Film Festival here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Well, I'm curious, what things – I'm going to take a question in two parts here, because obviously there's a rigorous selection process to these movies. What are the things that make a movie stand out? From what I can gather, you've got three categories, which are pretty common to anyone who has to judge contests. You've got the obvious, we want that. You've got the fence setters, I think was the term Louise used, and then the ones that don't make it. Let's start with the obvious ones, the ones that you know you want. What traits do they have? And we'll start, are they different from documentary to narrative? We'll start on the documentary side with Louise.
I wouldn't say they're entirely different. We train the jurors in all the categories in the same way. So we're asking them to look for that transformative power, that positive change. Did something happen during the course of that film, whether it's a narrative, whether it's a story, or it's a true story like a documentary? What happened over the course of that film that there was some change? And it doesn't have to be a Hollywood, wrap it up at the pretty bow ending. That's not, some of our films are, but not all of them. So we're looking for a story arc, for a great story well told. And with something like in a documentary, you might want a bit of a call to action because we do want people to get engaged and shift their perspectives. What about narratives?
Narratives, Tim.
Yeah, it is pretty similar. You really start with the story. What's being told here? And sometimes that's a very linear narrative that proceeds from point A to B to C. Sometimes it's much more of an evocative or atmospheric narrative that kind of takes you inside the head of somebody that can maybe shift your perspectives on how people live. So really, if you don't have a good story, don't bother making a movie in the first place. But a lot of people have really good intentions, and then they can't just – they just sometimes don't execute it as well. So we always look for a really high quality filmmaking as well. So you're looking at the shot selection. How is everything framed? How is it cut together? Do they make good use of the time that they have? Is it a 90-minute film that should be 80 minutes? Is it a 75-minute film that probably should have been 105 because they have such deep characters to explore? So there's a lot that goes into it. The quality of the acting, the writing, does it sound natural, authentic? Does it grate on people? Is it cheesy? Is it true to itself? There's a whole lot that goes into it that we train the selection committee on, and that Louise and I keep an eye out for as well.
We also look for what we call lingering effect. Mm-hmm. Am I still thinking about this film tomorrow? Have I talked about it with someone? That's a Heartland film.
What characteristics of films that are sort of obvious rejections? I'm sure, and as someone who's judged contests and also had to weigh freelance writing samples and all of that, there are certain things.
The ones that break your heart are the great, great stories, but they just couldn't tell the story.
Execute it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think length is a big one as well. If Matt's short had been 30 minutes, I'm not sure that it was supposed to be 30 minutes, and that's why it's the length that it is. Short filmmakers, it's really hard to keep people engaged for more than 15 minutes in a short. The same thing applies to the feature-length films as well. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of narratives, and I think some documentaries that are maybe 90 to 100 minutes, when really the filmmaker just fell in love with their footage too much and no one told them to cut it down to 80. It has to be really tight.
Yeah.
That's a big area that we see people not quite hitting the bar in.
Yeah, over an hour and a half, and you've got to have a really good reason to keep me watching.
Are there films that you've rejected over the years that you've regretted? That
that's a better question not to think about ever.
I know.
Actually, you know,
I'm curious because it's got to be. It is a subjective process.
It
you
is.
Also
it
have
is.
Limited space, so it there is. Are going to be some that do slip through the cracks.
Well, like we'll mention. We've had quite a bit of success in recent years with our award-winning short films being nominated and or winning Oscar mm-hmm. Awards. And there was one that was submitted, and it was a very well-made film, obviously quality of Oscar, but it didn't hit our criteria. And we talked about it after and said, no, we did the right thing. It was a good film. It just didn't hit the Heartland criteria.
Do you mind sharing what the film was and what criteria it didn't hit?
I believe we had one last year called Curfew that was submitted that received an Oscar nomination, and it was a very... from the committee's comments, a very dark, kind of disturbing film, but it didn't have much of a sense of necessarily hope or redemption that struck that would have more aligned with our mission. So we get some like that every year. We get some horror films that just the content, the theme
They're
is not what we're
well,
looking
but it's
for.
Not affirmative.
Yeah.
Life-affirming, as it were.
It doesn't necessarily take you anywhere or make you a different viewer. It just maybe entertains even if it's on the darker side.
So, in transformative, we want it to be, not transform you from being a, peaceful, law-abiding citizen
right.
to going out committing
right.
crimes.
And some festivals really love to program edgy films. We're not, it's great if it's an edgy film that fits our criteria. So I'll look at them being successful in other festivals and still think, no, it really didn't fit us. It's great that it's at other festivals, but it's just not a fit for Heartland and our audience.
And I should say, other than, it's probably an obvious question, but other than getting a chance to have their film shown, what do filmmakers who participate in the film festival get out of the experience?
Great question. So, the big thing that we offer is a really awesome audience here. We have people attending films. We have amazing Q&As if the filmmakers are in town. We really take each film that we select and bring it into the family fold. So wherever you go after Heartland, we're going to let our audience know about it. So we'll let them know when you have your theatrical release, when you have a VOD release, when you're available to purchase on DVD. That's something that we offer every film. So it's everything from that kind of that marketing aspect all the way down to if you're coming in for the festival, we'll pick you up at the airport. We'll take you to your hotel. You'll be greeted by awesome volunteers who have a filmmaker bag for you and a filmmaker packet. Really, you experience Hoosier hospitality at its finest.
Do they get paid or any expenses or anything like
no,
that?
No,
I have not been paid. That's a negotiating point right now.
Yes.
No,
this is your moment of maximum
leverage. We have criteria. Tim, you can.
Yeah, so we select five festival award-winning films. We have juries. WFYI's own Matthew Soucy has been on one of those juries this year that select the five top films in each category. And so we actually will fly one of those filmmakers in. Those are the ones that are up for the grand prize in each category. For everything else, I wish we had a much larger budget. If anyone has a spare couple million to help us bring in lots of filmmakers every year, that would be awesome. But as a nonprofit, we just aren't able to offer that to everybody.
And where does your funding come from, by and large? Is it donors or?
So it's sponsors, donors, foundations, grants.
And ticket revenue.
Ticket revenue.
How much is ticket revenue?
About 15% of our income.
So you've got 85% you have to raise from other sources then.
Yeah.
And
yes.
How large is the budget for the festival?
The festival specifically,
it's changed quite a bit the past couple years.
And
you know, we are a year-round arts organization, so our budget really is more reflective of the year-round work that we do.
Yeah, I think the festival budget itself is maybe around $500,000. So I don't remember the exact numbers.
So it's not a large number that we're talking about here. I mean, large for obviously.
It's large for a small staff, but for the impact that we have, it's moderate, I guess.
We are talking about the Heartland Film Festival here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Randy, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
I had a question for our young director, Matt. I was interested into what his sources are, what his inspiration is for the films that he makes, and secondly, whether he had any favorite film directors that he looks for inspiration or emulation.
Thanks very much. Good question. Thanks very much, Randy. Well, Matt, inspirations.
That's a very good question. A movie I'm somewhat in love with is called Garden State. It was a Sundance film, I think 2004. The director is Zach Braff. He's kind of riled up the media lately because of his Kickstarter stuff going on. But I really look at that movie a lot for inspiration, the way they use the color. As a cinematographer, the shots are just amazing. I'd say that he's probably my favorite director, and that's probably my favorite film.
Mm-hmm.
As far as inspiration, I like to make films that have really good content because I realize that I don't have the best cameras. I don't have the most money, so you have to rely totally on content. You know, you have to do what you can with what you have. And so that's what the Heartland Festival has really taught me. Like, I shot it all on a setup that cost under $1,000, you know, so it can be done. We live in an age where everything's getting cheaper as far as technology, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's bridging the gap. It makes us as artists that much more important because you can now shoot a film on an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes us, we have to do even more work than normal to make it look better and stand out from the consumers.
Where does the process start for you? I mean, does it start with an image, you know, you said in the film that's going to be at the festival this time that it started with seeing and saying, boy, that's beautiful. That there ought to be a visual to go with this story. Does it start with a character? Is it a story arc? What first hooks you?
Well, recently my themes in my films have been helping people or a good cause. So I seek out, like, a good cause in the community, and there's stories waiting to be told all around you. You just have to stop and think of how you want to tell it. You know, you have the content, but how do you display it? That's a big thing about documentary films. You have to figure out how to display this content in a meaningful way that's going to leave people with something when they leave. So I don't know if that really answers your question, but I guess just inspiration around the community, that's what I really look for. Someone that the movers and the shakers, you know, who's doing something in the community.
And I realize I have been remiss. I probably ought to ask Luis and Tim, presuming that people are listening to this program getting excited about these movies, where should they go to find the schedule to find out where they can go see these movies? And let's start with Matt's, okay, since he's here in the studio.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Great question. So, yeah, you can actually pick up one of our printed film guides. We have it's kind of the Bible of the festival. It has all the films in there. It has director information. It has stills from each one. It has the screening times, the entire schedule. You can pick those up at the AMC Traders Point Theater, the AMC Castleton Square 14 Theater, which is where we'll be showing films, at our office in Fountain Square on Virginia Avenue, as well as local Marsh area supermarkets and Starbucks and
Starbucks locations and Old National Banks.
Yeah.
You should be able to go in and pick up a film guide by discount vouchers at Marsh as well. But
can they find it online?
Yeah, online is a great place to go. So it's heartlandfilmfestival.org. So that's an easy one, heartlandfilmfestival.org. You'll have the full film guide, how to buy tickets. All of our special events are on there. You can, some of the films, if we have a trailer, you could run a trailer of each film. It's a great place to go.
We are talking about the Heartland Film Festival here on No Limits. My guests are Louise Henderson, Tim Irwin, and Matt Schaus. I am John Krall. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about the Heartland Film Festival. My guests are Louise Henderson, who is the festival director, Tim Irwin, who's the artistic director for the festival, and Matt Schaus, who's a young film director whose film is going to be on at the festival. If you would like to join the conversation, you can do so by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Louise, just before we went to the break, you were listing all of the ways people could find the films that are on display. We got through the printed directory and going online, but there's yet another way to do it.
There is yet another way, and we have an app. It's an Apple iPhone app, so if you just go to the App Store, it's a free download. That's a great way to get information about the films.
Michelle, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. I'm really excited about the film, the festival that's going to start. And I have a question. Where does a festival like this go? What is the next step? How does it grow? What is considered a success for a festival like this?
Thanks very much for the call, Michelle. We'll try to get you an answer. Okay, Louise, that one I think is for you.
Well, and we've really seen this in the past 4 years. It will always be in Indianapolis. Our submissions will continue to grow, so our selectivity will increase. It will be harder and harder to get into the festival, and therefore our reputation in the industry, both nationally and internationally, will continue to grow. We, at the end of 2010, learned that we are an Oscar-qualifying festival for the narrative short film category, which is a huge distinction that there's only about 40 festivals in the United States that have that designation from the Academy. Whereby,
so how did that ramp up entries? I would think
it was huge.
That explains 1,019 short film submissions,
yeah.
Yes.
We jumped about 45% in submissions the year after we learned that.
And all across the board, not just in the short film category. So where we go from here is just putting ourselves on the map. I always say, as South by Southwest is known for music, technology, and film, I really want Heartland, and I think it's very doable for Indianapolis and Heartland to be viewed as the place for these sorts of films. Filmmakers love this festival. Matt mentioned during the break that the networking, the connections that filmmakers are able to make with each other at this festival is unusual, and our audiences are engaged to a level that typically they don't find it at the festivals. So we're a well-loved festival by filmmakers.
We've gotten an email question from a listener named John. And if you would like to send a question by email, you can do so by sending it to nolimits@wfyi.org. It says, please tell us about the Truly Moving Picture Award and about its impact on the movie-going public.
Another great question. So, yeah, this is where things get a little bit complicated sometimes. The Heartland Film Festival has been around for 20-plus years, and the festival's designed to highlight independent films. So films like Matt's, where he gets a camera, he finds a story, gets some inspiration.
And I just realized we're all talking. We know we probably ought to explain what an independent film is here, too.
Yeah, so you have the big studios, and an independent film is really anything that's done outside of the studio system. So Warner Brothers makes a movie, Disney makes a movie, Fox makes a movie. They make films that'll go to 400 theaters across the country, 2,000 theaters, 4,000 theaters across the country. Independent films are the ones where some plucky person has raised the money, written their story, hired a bunch of their friends to shoot it for them, and they put together a really awesome film. Occasionally, those will get picked up, and you'll see them maybe at like the Keystone Arts Theater. Some of them might make their way into mainstream theaters as well. But that's really the distinction. It's something that doesn't come from Hollywood land, essentially. So the Truly Moving Picture Award, on the other hand, the festival, we highlight the independent mm-hmm. films that come through every year. The Truly Moving Picture Award is designed to honor the films that align with our mission that are released by Hollywood every year. So earlier this year, we had the Jackie Robinson biopic was awarded. Kings of Summer was another one. We've had I don't know, anywhere from 10 to 20 per year that receive this distinction. And we're actually closing the festival this year with one, The Book Thief, starring Jeffrey Rush, based on the best-selling novel. That is a film that's received our Truly Moving Picture Award. It's hitting theaters nationwide November 15th. We're really excited to have a special presentation of it here to close out our festival.
We are talking about the Heartland Film Festival here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Dave, welcome to the program.
Hello, yes. I just kudos to everybody who's involved with the festival. This is just such a gem, not just for Indianapolis and the Midwest, but I think for the industry itself. I've got a couple friends who are in the industry and writers in California, and they look forward to my blogs and reviews online. I take a vacation every year and spend the week watching film. Just got a quick question, and that is there any possibility of another screening location in the future on the south side of Indy?
Thanks very much for the call and the question, Dave.
Well, we do have a new screening location this year. 2 years ago, Heartland offices moved to Historic Fountain Square. We're there in the G.C. Murphy building and have really enjoyed being a part of that arts district. So we are going to have four nights of screenings. We're just sort of, it's a pilot this year, at the theater at the Wheeler Arts Community, which is right there in Fountain Square. We're going to have four nights of screenings, two screenings each evening. That is going to be our location that's not on the far north side. Our other two locations are northwest and northeast side of town. We did have screening locations on the south side for a number of years. We have just found that our attendance is stronger. We moved to the Traders Point location last year and saw a 33% increase, being able to tap into the west side, northwest side of town. Being right off the highway, I think, was extremely convenient for people from many parts of town, including the south side.
What are your the fact that people can access it easily? What are the other criteria for choosing a screening location?
Really high quality projection equipment.
So yeah. That it presents well and all of that. Do you have minimum seating requirements or?
We like medium to large spaces, so the Wheeler is probably one of our smallest theaters, and I think we'll be able to fit in 150 to 175 people in there. At the AMC theaters have really great projection. We actually still bring in extra equipment to help show the formats that we have and to make sure that it looks as good as the filmmaker's ever seen it on the big screen. So it is. We have to be pretty selective, and there aren't that many locations in central Indiana that can handle what we need.
Matt Schaus, I'm going to ask you a question because what's come out of this is clearly, in getting your film shown here, there's not necessarily a pot of gold at the end of that experience for you. How do you fund the films that you make, pay for the work that you are doing? And I have a follow-up, but how about if you answer that one first?
Right. Well, I shoot documentaries, which are typically quite a bit cheaper than narrative filmmaking. Mm-hmm. Because documentary, you can do it with, one person, Your actors are real people. They have a real story to tell. So the acting's not going to be cheesy. There's no acting, So mm-hmm. that's another thing to dodge. So documentaries are a lot cheaper. I fund my films by shooting freelance events, shooting weddings for money. People hire me to do other things in the film industry, or not the industry, but around the community, rather, and they pay me for that, and I'll put my own money into cameras, lenses, gear like that, and I just reuse that stuff.
So, but I guess where I'm going with this is, then why do it? At the end of the day, and that came out harsher and more pejorative than I wanted it to be, but that's generally one of the motivations that people have. What part of your makeup, your soul or whatever, does doing film feed?
It's the fact that people are paying money to see an underqualified director's film. that's what keeps me going. People come up to me, they ask questions, they are truly interested in what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And it just gives you the best feeling in the world because you put in these long nights editing your film, doing this to, you know, because like last year I had a film in it, right? As I'm driving home, I'm like, well, I'm glad I lived it up last year. I'll never be there again. Here we are, and people hopefully will come see my film, and they're going to come up to me and ask me stuff. And little kids come up, and they want, like, autographs and stuff like that. They want business cards. People want to work with me. Actors come up to me. They want to act in a film. It's just the networking. It's just
they're not aware it's a documentary.
Yeah, exactly. They don't know that I do mostly documentary, apparently. But
well, the other question I guess I would ask is that at some level, what – when you're doing this, because it you work by yourself by and large, it is your vision and all of that, you're the first critic then that looks at the movie. What are the standard? What do you say, oh, yeah, that's good. That's good enough for me to send along? Or
typically, I never think it's good enough. I just, the due date will come around, and I'm just like, oh, gosh, might as well send it in, you know, just give it a shot. Like he was talking about time constraints, and I definitely struggle with that because I edit my own stuff, and I'll shoot hours and hours and get a couple minutes of usable footage. Originally, my film was probably closer to 20 minutes, but I'm like, it's kind of dragging, you know. You want it to be hot. You know, you want to keep people's attention. And so I cut it way down, and I just feel like there's a reason. There's got to be some sort of reason I've gotten into this festival a couple times. Like, I feel like I should be doing this, you know? Not having a camera doesn't make you a filmmaker. You take the camera away, are you still a filmmaker? I think that's the question people have to ask. I don't care if you own the nicest camera. If you don't know what to do with it, and you don't have to look at things in an artistic way, you're not a filmmaker.
Well, let me then take it around since we're talking about one film here. What was the power of Matt's film that drew the committee to choose it for being part of the festival?
I think it was a lot of what he said, just being a very tight story, locally based, a really great topic, something that a lot of people are interested in, interesting people talking on camera, proficiently, professionally made, just well-executed, efficient. Yeah, it was everything that Matt was talking about. He didn't feel that it was good enough, and I can understand that because you've spent hours and hours. You've seen it 100,000 times.
Sometimes you need another set of eyes to look at it to tell you what they really think.
And it's impressive that he was able to cut it down so much because we get a lot of films that are submitted. You asked earlier what doesn't make the cut. We get a lot that have a director, producer, writer, editor. If it's all the same person, that's usually not the best sign in the world because it's really helpful to have a harsh set of eyes come in and look at it and tell you to cut out this, cut out that, make it tighter, make it more of an effective emotional, maybe make it have more of an impact. And oftentimes it's helpful to have someone else come in and help you do that.
Do you feel a responsibility to sort of foster the career of Indianapolis or Indiana-based filmmakers? I mean, do they have a certain edge in the submission process or not?
We flag Indiana filmmakers, you know, as they come in, we flag it. So we make sure that it gets our attention, you know, just that we're very deliberate. In seeing it, it doesn't get anything more or less. We just want to make sure that we don't take cut any corners so that we can say that it went through the system just like all the others and probably got maybe a little bit more focus because we want to make sure not to miss a really good one because we want to encourage Indiana filmmakers.
How many Indiana films from Indiana-based filmmakers are part of the festival this year, in an average year, would you say?
Average year, there's usually only one or two. We usually find more in the high school film competition. We might have two or three this year that are from Indiana. Indiana doesn't have the greatest we could go into tax incentives, we could go into all these different things, but there's not a huge film production community here. The folks that are here work really hard and they make some really great stuff, but there's not a huge pool to select from in the first place. So, I think Matt's might be one of the few that's from Indiana outside of the festival, and that's not atypical. Usually we have maybe one or two outside of the high school film competition that we show each year.
How many from Indiana get submitted? It sounds like there's some disincentives for filmmakers to practice their art here, but
I might have had five documentaries this year.
How many of them made the cut?
I don't think any of them did.
Yeah. Let me think. Medora's set here. So
Medora is set here, so that's – and I didn't include that in the five.
I don't think the numbers were much
that's
different.
That's David Rothbart's film. Right?
David Rothbart's film,
who
yeah.
was a guest on the show just last
there you
week,
go.
I believe.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Narrative features, probably maybe even fewer than five. And then the shorts, just because there are a lot more shorts, we may have had 20 to 30 shorts that were submitted from Indiana. I don't know the exact numbers, though.
So real quickly, what we'll start first with Matt's film and take that out of consideration so that we can move on. If people want to go see Matt's film after we've been talking about this, where should they go and when?
They should. So Louise mentioned earlier that we put the short films into programs. So each program's 80 to 110 minutes probably. Matt's film's in shorts program 4. It's called Small Bites. Every single short has something to do with food in one way or another. Some of them are very silly and cute, and some of them are documentary takes on food production and whatnot. So we have 4 screenings of it scheduled. Sunday, October 20th at 4:45 p.m. at the Castleton Square Theater. Again on Monday at Trader's Point. Thursday at the Wheeler Arts Community. And then Friday, October 25th, back at Castleton at 9:15 p.m. So 4 different options to see it. If you look up Shorts Program 4 Small Bites on at heartlandfilmfestival.org, it'll take you to where and when it's screening.
Let me ask then, aside from Matt's film, what? And I know this is a little bit like asking you to choose your favorite child. You know, it's not. But what film that's going to be part of the festival this year do you really hope that audiences will find or connect with?
There are that is a very difficult question. I think I would probably start with opening night because it's in 2 days. It's going to be really exciting. We have the world premiere of Vanessa Hudgens' newest movie. She's going to be here. We're having it at the Indianapolis Museum of Art at the Toby Theater. We'll have a red carpet premiere. It'll kind of be that Hollywood glitz and glam. It's kind of one of our big events to bookend the festival. And I think we still have a few tickets left. We have 2 screenings, 4:00 and 7:30. We still have a few tickets left for each one of those. After you start with opening night, it gets kind of more difficult. Louise, do you have one to highlight above?
It's like choosing between children. So I'll just tell you to easy hit the festival award winners in each category. Those are by a jury judged to be the 5 strongest films in each category. Documentaries, we have 4 special presentations this year. Those are films that have been released in like some have shown on HBO or whatever. They would have been in competition had they not been broadcast nationally. And they're only showing once or twice, and they're all very, very strong programs. So all documentaries only showing once or twice. I would urge people not to miss them as they come through town for a very short run.
Matt, I'm going to give you the last word on this. Of all of the films other than your own that are being shown here, what's the one that you're most excited about seeing for the first time?
I met the filmmakers of the
Super No Ordinary Hero, the Super Deafy movie? Is
that
the one?
I met those filmmakers at the announcement ceremony, and I'm really interested in seeing their film.
Why is that?
Well, because when you meet a filmmaker, you can just have a conversation with them. They can watch my work, I watch their work, and it's like we're having a conversation through film, like through the message.
That's a great last word. I want to thank my guests, Louise Henderson, Tim Irwin, and Matt Schaus. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Sharon Alseth. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Jeanette Rhodes. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each week for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.